Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified, and she talks about her great qualities here. She says things like Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. She says in verse 27, when he prepared, speaking of God, the heavens, I was there. She says in verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. You see how wisdom is personified? And she's speaking here. Well, in the process of speaking, wisdom says in verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness. I lead in the way of righteousness. Then according to this verse, there is a way of righteousness. And this way is so precious, so good, so holy, so righteous, that you need the wisdom of God to guide you into this way and to keep you on this way. Do you see that? Wisdom says, I lead in the way of righteousness. I suppose you could say that wisdom leads you to the way, and then wisdom leads you in the way of righteousness. Now, righteousness is something that is characteristic of Jesus Christ. He came here and lived a perfectly righteous life, and he gives us his righteousness when we get saved. Okay? And the thing about the righteousness of Jesus that we get when we're saved is that truly, his righteousness is something that is at work in our lives, or should be. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that we are to yield our members to righteousness, servants of righteousness and not servants of sin. Do you see that? So when you got saved, the righteousness of Jesus Christ came inside of you. When Jesus Christ came inside of you, and now wisdom will lead you in that way of righteousness that you possess by virtue of the fact that you are now a child of God. So wisdom then would be like a GPS, a global positioning system, or a compass, or the navigation equipment in an airplane. In other words, when you don't know where you're going, you get out your GPS, and your GPS will give you turn-by-turn directions and will also give you a map that will show you the way to go from where you are to the way where you're going. A compass, if you know how to read it, will tell you how to follow a map if you're following one, and at what point to turn and at what degree to turn in order to find the treasure or get out of the forest or whatever it is you're trying to do. Navigation equipment in an airplane is very sophisticated, but you set that navigation equipment when you get ready to leave your departing airport, the airport of your origin. And you get up in the air and you begin to fly, and you fly from where you are to a VOR. When you get there, you then change the dial, change the settings, and it will point you in the direction of the next VOR. When you get there, you change the setting again, and it'll get you to the next VOR, and so forth until you get to your destination airport. It'll get you right there. So wisdom keeps you on track and keeps you from veering to the left hand or to the right hand from the way of righteousness. It keeps you on course. Now, today we're not going to be speaking about the wisdom that leads you in the way of righteousness. Today we're going to be speaking about that way. Because I think if we properly describe that way of righteousness, your desire may be to be on that way of righteousness. And if your desire is to be on that way of righteousness, then you'll follow wisdom to that way of righteousness, and you'll follow wisdom to keep you on that way of righteousness. So we're not going to talk about the wisdom. We're going to talk about the way so that there's some desire to get on it, okay, and to stay on it. That's the key. If you have the desire to get on it and stay on it, then you'll start following wisdom, okay? And the wisdom, which obviously is found in the Bible, will get you there. Now, we're going to be preaching Bible today, so you're going to hear some wisdom, and hopefully this wisdom will lead you to the way of righteousness and lead you in the way of righteousness. So here's the question, then, about this way. What are the defining characteristics of this way of righteousness? What are the defining characteristics of this way of righteousness? Well, first of all, the way of righteousness is a narrow way. You remember when you read Matthew chapter 7, concluding what everybody refers to as the Sermon on the Mount, when you got to Matthew chapter 7, you began to read about a broad way, and you began to read about a narrow way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereout, because straight is the gate," that's S-T-R-A-I-T, not G-H-T, meaning that it's not straight up and down, but straight as in narrow, like a straight jacket. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So, first of all, the way of righteousness is a narrow way. Compared to the directions of a compass, the way of righteousness is just 1 degree. In other words, if you're looking at a compass, then you're reading, okay, 360 degrees or 180 degrees or 90 degrees or 270 degrees, depending if you're on exact north, south, east, or west. But then also you may read any variable like 1 degree or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 degrees, whatever, like that. Okay. Well, the way of righteousness is just 1 degree. That's it. All the other degrees, the other 359 degrees, are not the way of righteousness. Okay? So, God is the only one who knows exactly how to lead you along this way, since it's so narrow. And He knows the way. Jesus Christ walked in this way. God is the only one who knows exactly how to lead you along this way, since so few around you are on it. Everything in the world around you is off track. The news is off track. The weather is off track. Hollywood is off track. The universities are off track. The news is off track. Everything's off track. It's all a matter of man's opinion now. Proverbs says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Okay? So everything around you is off track. I mean, they may be close. In other words, if you take 90 to 270 degrees, that's east to west, and you're wanting to head north, you say, well, anything that's 89 or 271 or up to 360 is the right way. Well, it's leading in a different direction than heading south, but it's not leading in the way or the way of righteousness. You got it? It's leading you somewhere. But if you stay on the way you're going, following something that's not heading in a southerly direction, you could end up way west or way east of where you're trying to go. So in other words, you need the wisdom of God to get right on track and to stay on track. The Bible is the very best roadmap to keep you in the middle of the road every single day. And that's why we say you ought to read it every day. Because the way of righteousness is a narrow way. It's not something you can guess at. It's not something you can approximate. You can't say, well, I'm heading in the general direction. You're not going to be on the way. You're going to be off the way. And wisdom wants to lead you in the way of righteousness. All right? So first of all, it's a narrow way. So don't be satisfied with approximate. Get on the right way. Second thing, the way of righteousness is not only a narrow way, it is a highway. Highway. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, it is a highway. In Proverbs chapter 16, the Lord speaks about a highway. And look what he says in verse 17. The highway of the upright, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Well, then if you think about it, this way of righteousness is like a W-ditch. It's like an overpass. It's like an elevated road. It's like the center of a road with ditches on either side. And the way of righteousness, this highway, keeps you out of the evil ditches on either side. It's just like God told Cain. He said to Cain that if Cain didn't do right, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. In other words, just right outside the door. The way that God actually said it to Cain is, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I mean, it's right there, just waiting for you. It's kind of like an alligator in a pond that hadn't eaten in a long time. You're up on the bank, and all he's doing is waiting for you to dive in. Now, on this way of righteousness, you walk above the pools of filth in which the rest of the world is drowning. In other words, when you get up on this highway, you get out of the pig pen. The strange thing about Christians, particularly these days, is that they're constantly running to the ditches. They're constantly running to the ditches of bad sin. Now, a lot of this stuff is not well known, but I'll tell you what. Here's the way of righteousness, right in the middle of the road, right? And then you find this Christian who's been trying to live up there on that road, and something happens, and the next thing you know, he's stuck down in a ditch. He's stuck in the ditch of pornography. He was on the internet trying to take care of his business, saw a link to something, saw a picture over on one of the sidebars, clicked the thing, went over to an area where he wasn't supposed to go, saw something that wasn't quite illegal. It was illegal. He just found a place on the internet where he could look at something he's not supposed to see in such a way that he didn't have to do something that was really bad to get there, but he's looking at something he's not supposed to be seeing, and somehow or another he's convinced himself in his mind that it's okay because it's not some site that was forbidden or whatever, until obviously somebody walks in the room and then he clicks over to another picture because he wants people seeing him messing around with something he's not supposed to be seeing. All right, you know what he's doing? He's living in a ditch. In a ditch of sin. He's not on the way of righteousness. He's not in the highway. He's down in the ditch. And every once in a while he comes back up on the, or thinks he's coming back up on the highway. Basically what he's doing, he's veering his vehicle out of the ditch and trying to get back up there. But he's down and stuck in the ditch again. I mean, they're stuck in the ditch of addiction to prescription meds, to cursing, to movies and things they're not supposed to see, to different kinds of foods that aren't healthy for their bodies. Or go on down the road, anger, bitterness, pride, lasciviousness, wickedness, maliciousness, you name it, anger. Men are stuck in a ditch off the way of righteousness, and they're having trouble. Now, you want to come out of that thing? Well, when you get on the way of righteousness and you follow wisdom and follow the righteousness that's in you out of that ditch, you'll be like David. In Psalm 40, verse 2, David said about God, he brought me, listen, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Did you hear that? David said, God brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I'm going to tell you something. in your life right now, you have a sin nobody else knows but you and God. And that sin is troubling you on the inside, and you keep going back into that sin. You know what the problem is? You are in the ditch. You're not on the highway. You're not on the way of righteousness. You're moving along the way. You're moving along the way of righteousness, but you're not moving in the way of righteousness. Do you got it? You're driving in the ditch. And that's not a good way. Listen, if you're going from Corpus Christi to San Antonio, you don't want to drive in the median the whole way. That's rough driving. You want to get up on that pavement, and you want to drive the speed limit. You want to stay in that way. Now, you know what your trouble is? You're not in the highway. You're stuck in the ditch down below. And rather than get all befuddled and go all kinds of places looking for all kinds of self-help books to figure out how to get out of the thing, follow wisdom onto the way of righteousness, forsake the sin that's keeping you in the median, and get out of it. And then you're going to find something else about the way of righteousness. You're going to find that it is a peaceful way, a peaceful way. Look in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. It is a peaceful way. The way of righteousness is a narrow way. It is a highway. It's a peaceful way. Isaiah chapter 32, look at verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness shall be peace. You are never going to know the fullness of peace in your life until you get on this way of righteousness. And once you're on it, you're going to find a peace that is absolutely divine. Sin cannot molest you on this path. I didn't say you'd be sinless. I just said sin can't molest you on this path. Because once you're up on the path of righteousness or on the way of righteousness, you aren't worrying about whether God is mad at you over something bad you've done. Not when you're on this way. You see, in that other point, we're talking about not being on the highway, being down in the ditch near the highway. You're constantly worrying about whether God is mad at you over something bad you've done. And so you're constantly, you know, when something bad goes wrong, you know, oh, well, if I'd have quit this sin, God would be doing this to me right now. And you're constantly fighting that vicious battle. You're like on a seesaw. You get up a little while, then you go back down a little while. Then you get up a little while, then you go back down a little while. And you're not at peace. You're not at peace in your relationship with God, and you're looking for all kinds of books down in the Christian bookstore trying to find peace with God. And the problem simply is you're not living in the way of righteousness. You are trying to live your Christian life with a bag full of sin keeping you weighed down and stuck. Now, when you get up on this way of righteousness, listen, you're not presuming upon God's goodness. You're just enjoying Him to the fullness. By that I mean you're not assuming that you are so good and God is so good that you're up there and nothing, you know, nothing's going to happen to you anymore. It's just that you got up to a place where you can enjoy Him to the fullest, and you understand that if you start slipping off of that thing, that you get back in the grace of God by, you know, confessing your sin to the Lord and straightening the thing up. Listen, people have argued about whether Christians should confess their sins and all that. May I tell you something? The people who are stuck on that are people who are stuck in the ditch next to the way of righteousness. Once you get up on the way of righteousness, you will never ask yourself the question again, should I confess my sins? You will never worry about calling a hyper-dispensationalist and asking him to tell you about 1 John 1:9. You know why? Because you'll understand once you start veering off that path just a hair and you come running back to God like that, you simply tell him, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm getting right back here. But you're not troubled over it because you're not living in the ditch. People that live in the ditch are the ones that are all the time concerned about to what degree they should be confessing their sins. You know why? You're trying to find peace after confessing sins without leaving the ditch. And you can't do that. There is no peace without leaving the ditch. You got to get out of it. Once you get out of it, this whole thing about 1 John 1:9 clears up so easily, it'll never trouble you, not another day in your life. All right, let's go on to something else. The way of righteousness is a narrow way. The way of righteousness is a highway. The way of righteousness is a peaceful way. Don't you want to be at peace in your relationship with God? Well, then get up on the way of righteousness and stay there. But I'll tell you something else. It's a happy way. It's a happy way. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 14. The way of righteousness is a happy way. 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 14. Peter says, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." I know I'm taking a verse right in the middle of a context, but listen. Listen, listen. Happy are ye, what? If ye suffer for righteousness' sake. In other words, listen. In the way of righteousness, you are so happy that even if you suffer for being on this way, you're still happy. In other words, most people aren't happy when they suffer, okay? And Peter said, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. In other words, you're happy when you suffer and you're happy when you don't suffer. Now, that's the kind of happiness that only a Christian can have. There is never so much happiness when you have one foot on the way of righteousness and one foot in the ditch of sin. That doesn't work. You put one up on the pavement, oh boy, that's good. Or put one wheel up on the pavement and the other one down in the ditch. You know what's going to happen? You're going to slide off the way of righteousness. True happiness as a Christian comes when you are right smack dab in the middle of the road. That's right. When you are right smack dab in the middle of the road, when you're right in the middle of the way of righteousness, then you are happy. Well, people, I'll tell you what, I know what the deal is. You keep going back to that ditch because there's some sin in there in which you find pleasure. And you know you find pleasure in it. And you've heard me say, and you've heard the Bible say, that the pleasures of sin only last for a season, but you're still in that season of pleasure. And so you're thinking that you're going to derive happiness from going back and drinking, or going back and smoking, or going back and doing some kind of a drug, or going back and fornicating. Hello, 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 modern society. Yes, sir. There are a lot of Christians today that are finding pleasure as single Christians fornicating and going to church and thinking that God's okay with that, and something deep down in your conscience has been troubling about that, and you are finding that momentary pleasure in your fornication, and yet you are not finding that total happiness with God. Dude, get out of the ditch. Do you understand? That is your problem. Don't be worried about going around looking for all other kind of self-help things and all kinds of counseling to figure out what the deal is. You are in sin. You are not in the way of righteousness. And God is not allowing you to enjoy the full happiness of your salvation because you are still trying to be pleased with the pleasures of sin. I want to be a happy Christian. Don't you want to be a happy Christian? Then in order to be a happy Christian, get away from the bars, get away from the fornication, get away from those things that you're doing, and get back up on the road and get in love with Jesus Christ and in love with his words and in love with wisdom, and you are going to taste a happiness that is far greater than any pleasure of sin you have ever experienced in your life. Because the way of righteousness is a happy way. And I want to say one other thing about it. The way of righteousness is a handy way. A handy way. You say, what do you mean, a handy way? Well, back in the days when I used to play golf and somebody would make a really good shot that was real close to the mark they were aiming, we'd say, well, that was handy. That was handy, which means it's close at hand. The way of righteousness is close at hand. It's a handy way. Isaiah 46, verse 13. Look, the Lord says, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. Again, I know I'm in a context, but listen to what he says. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. Right now, you can get yourself back up on the way of righteousness. You say, how? All you have to do is just stick your hand out. That's all you got to do. Stick your hand out and take the Savior. Just like Peter did when he was sinking in the water. And Jesus Christ will save you and put you on the right path. That's right. You may be stuck down in a nasty bog right now, but the way of righteousness is handy. It's right there. Just come to Jesus Christ and say, God, save me. Lord, get me out of this ditch. Lord, take care of me like David did. Bring me up also out of this horrible pit, out of this miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and establish my goings. And he will do it. Save my soul. He'll do it. It's like the old hymn says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. You know the song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Don't you want to be out of that miry pit? Don't you want to be in the way of righteousness? May I tell you something? Why don't you right now, the best way you know how, pull over, stop what you're doing, bow your head and come to Jesus Christ and tell him, Lord, I have not been on that way of righteousness. And I need to get back up on that way. I know it's a narrow way, but I know you know the way. It's a highway. It's higher than this ditch I'm in. It's a peaceful way, and I want to be at peace. It's a happy way, and I want to be happy. Please save my soul, or if you're already saved, please get me out of this ditch. And then you know what? Follow him in the way of righteousness. And you know what? You'll come right up out of that ditch and right onto that highway. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.